This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
All right, good evening. Is it too loud? Is that too close? All right. So I'm just looking for my pink paper. So my name is Ruan Mokka, for you who don't know me. Thank you, Saki. So I'm actually Afrikaans, so I have a horrible Afrikaans accent when I speak English. So if I start mumbling, just give me some signs and I'll try and remember what I just said. So I'm obviously not a preacher by profession. They said that the evening service is a little bit more laid back, so I decided not to shave. So my shirt is still tucked in. I hope that's okay. All right, so my sermon is an interesting thing. You know, I like to be prepared. You know, that's one thing I really like, is to be well prepared. And the last couple of weeks, the Lord has just laid on my heart this idea of the military step, you know, being in sequence and the power thereof. And so, you know, He's really worked, you know, on it in my heart, and He's just revealed it to me in certain areas of my life and, you know, in other people's lives. And so, and, you know, it's such a powerful thing. But we just came back from, we made a long weekend, and we went camping. And on my way back, the Lord just said, no, not that one tonight. So I am not talking about the military step, which is a little bit out of my comfort zone. So I am a bit more laid back than usual. Or more stressed, but more laid back. So, you know, on our way back, there was probably 10 million people in Swakop over the weekend. Did you guys have parking in front of your houses? It was crazy. I mean, there was like hundreds and hundreds of people just coming from the front. We were like the only people just coming back to Swakop. And it's amazing how the Lord works, you know, and I just really saw myself. And I'm not going to tell my testimony tonight, but I am going to talk about things that has happened to me. A couple of months ago, actually, not a year, 13 months ago, I had a sermon about remembrance, how to remember. And the Lord just made me remember. And it was such an amazing thing. You know, I was driving and, you know, you're looking at these people, these thousands and thousands of people just struggling to keep their spot and their place, you know, and then somebody comes from behind and you can see the frustration in this guy's face and, you know, hooters and lights and everything. And we're just here. We're just going the opposite direction. And it's so, you're looking out for what's happening in front of you, but there's so much more peace. Anyway, so my sermon is also not about traffic. Yes, anyway, so I've been in Namibia now 10 years, a little bit more than 10 years. I really grew up in a very good home. Very good house. And, you know, I was in varsity, and that in itself says a lot, because there's a lot of things that happen in varsity. And I always had this thought of this stick, you know, and one gets different types of and forms of sticks, you know. Some sticks are made to play sports with, cricket, you know. Others are made to give you a bit of discipline. Others you throw in the fire. Some you use as a weapon, and as a high or a crossbow or whatever. But somehow the stick is always in the receiving end. And certain sticks have names grafted in them. Like I say, certain sticks have come too close to the fire and you just have this black markings on it. And so all of us, we have these histories. We have this history of things that happened to us and the things we went through. And it leaves its mark on us sometimes. And like I said, the Lord just gave me a couple of scriptures. Scriptures He's given me in the last decade or so. It just brought unto remembrance, as He promised through His comforter, that which He's told me. And I just wrote these scriptures down. So we're just going to have a little bit of a chat about them. Romans 8 verse 13, those who have applications on their phones, those of us whose cell phones have died while camping, we brought real Bibles. I have the old King James version, which I love. It's falling apart, but my wife said I can't bring that because there's too many thous and these, and ye shall not, saith the Lord. But it's very good. So I have two Bibles here. I've got the King James and the Amplified. So I'll use the Amplified when things get really hairy. So Romans 8 verse 13. So let me just paint a picture. I came to Namibia. I was in a serious relationship. It didn't work out. And I was a bit angry, or I was more than a little bit angry, I was quite furious. And you know, you have that physical pain, you know, like you want to track like a tramal or something, you know, because physically it hurts. You know, I thought heartache was like from fairy tales, but it really is an ache, eh? It's like a dull ache that just doesn't go away. Anyway, so I was a bit angry, and I didn't know the Lord as such then. I knew of Him, obviously, but I didn't know Him. And I remember I just started joining small group, and I think this verse was probably the verse that changed me. And I'm going to read it like I read it. It was a Wednesday evening, we had small group at Aaron John's house. I don't know whom of you know Aaron John. Well, Aaron John was a bit different back then also. Anyway, so it was a Wednesday evening. I just came from a friend's house, and now I'm going to small group, and I'm sitting in my car, and I had a clamshell phone, which was like, it was color screen, but it was like pixelated, or, you know, it had this dot matrix type of thing. So I flipped it open, and then suddenly I just saw in my mind Romans 8 verse 13. And this is the first time it's ever happened to me. It's only happened to me twice. And 50% of those times were hectic. All right. So, I opened my application on my Bible, the Bible Hub, I think. And I read was, "He who lives after the flesh will die." Didn't say you might die. It said you will die. And a fear came upon me, either fear or revelation, but I think it was the fear of the Lord just came upon me. And I realized that I was living after the flesh. Now looking back, yes, I mean, you can use theology to describe a lot of things that verse says, but the back then, I didn't know much. And all I read was, if you live after the flesh, you will die. I was 24. I realized that I didn't want to die. You know, you do a lot of sports that are adrenaline filled, you know. A lot of risks involved and stuff like that. And you're young, and I still think I'm a bit young, even though I have a beard. Okay. Redheads don't get gray at least, we just get a bit white. So, anyway, so death was something that happened to other people. And when I read that, I was shocked. Because I grew up and we sang songs about the Lord's goodness and about His power and about His love. And then in His word, the first thing, it's probably the first revelation I've had in my life, the first thing He tells me is that you are going to die. Sure. So I'm talking about this because obviously somebody needs to hear this evening. Because otherwise we will be talking about a military step. Okay. So this is not for you, then it's for somebody you know. So this stick had a lot of marks on it. You know, this stick had gone through a lot of things. Even though I think I'm very blessed, and there's people, and I promise you, there's people even sitting here tonight that's gone through a lot more than you'll ever go through in your lifetime. But soon after that, you know, the Holy Spirit started working in me, and I realized, you know, but I do want life. You know, and I don't want life like the advertisements tell me I want life. I don't want life like America tells me I want life. You know, I truly want this life, this water of life. But you know, the devil comes with all his old lies. He comes and he attacks your identity. And as the Lord reminds me of these things, He also reminds me of how the devil just accused me. You know, the things you've gone through and the things you've done and the things you didn't do and the things you should have done. But the Lord is gracious and He gave me this verse, Exodus 15. Verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved to them. And he said, okay, let me just stop there. In the English Standard Version, it says, and there he took a stick and he threw it into the water. And the water became drinkable. And I realized that the Lord had taken me, is taking me as a stick that somebody has found either dead, because a green twig is difficult to break from a tree, eh? They didn't have chainsaws or leatherman or anything like that. It was probably a piece of dead branch. He took and he threw it into the water. And the Lord just pressed on my heart that you are going to let people survive. You are going to get to a place even where you in yourself is blemished and broken. You are going to come to a place where you will be cast into an area and it will bring sustenance. As you are. My question is, how do you feel? In what condition are you? What condition are you? Are you? Do you feel covered because you are surrounded by trees with leaves? Do you feel that there is at least a little mossy making a nest in me? You know, I'm supporting somebody. Because I'm telling you that the Lord has placed you here because somebody here needs life. And He's placed you here because you are a catalyst to somebody to receive life. So a lot of things happened. Like I said, I'm not telling my testimony. But a lot of things happened. And I came to a place where I decided, you know, I don't want to play games anymore. It's moog from Macy's. Not the other way. I don't want to play games. It's not who SMS first, now not the other one's turn. Now I went to visit you last weekend. You must come to my house now. Or something like that. What do you guys still do that? Or is WhatsApp just easy? You just say, oh, you've read it 10 minutes ago. Why haven't you replied? Is it something like that now? We barely had colored screens. Anyway. So the thing is, rolling forward, I came to a place where, you know, I just said, Lord, it's you. Lord, it's truly you. And such an amazing message He just brought. I think it's amazing. You know, and it's just that I made a decision that, Lord, You are the one. You are worthy. I'm not. But somehow You thought I will be. And I decided, okay, I'm going to grow a beard. I don't know. I should have titled this My Beard, the sermon. Anyway. So, because, you know, women don't like beard. It's now fashionable. That stage, it wasn't. Mine is very red. You'll see in the sun. The lighting isn't doing it justice. So I just decided that I'm going to grow a beard, just, you know, just to distance myself a bit. And the Lord, I told an older lady, friend of mine, I told her, you know, that my wife is going to walk through those doors. This is now where I work. My wife is going to walk through those doors one day. And my wife did walk through those doors for more than a year because she worked for me. And I never knew it. She walked through that door a million times. And I didn't know it was her. Anyway, so she did walk through the door. But I was blind. But anyway, but then the Lord just opened my heart and her heart, and, you know, we just knew, you know, we were meant to get married. And she loved a beard because her father has one. Huh? Amazing, the Lord knows. Anyway, so now I went to, you know, now we're starting and we made a lot of mistakes. We're in such a blessed position to do a little bit of marriage preparation with some couples, just so that they don't do the stupid things we did. The stick. Sometimes with my pakslag, yeah. Anyway, so Ephesians 5, verse 27, it says that He might present it to Himself a glorious church. This is the Lord. Not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The Lord says, I must bring my wife in front of Him, holy and blameless. And I've used this example a lot before. I read this And I just realized that I can't even bring myself holy and blameless before the Lord. Now the Lord expects me to bring my wife holy and blameless before the Lord. It says, I'll be there in a second. Anyway, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. Okay, so at least I had some idea how this is going to work. I am going to wash her with the word. I'm going to tell her, my wife-to-be, thus says the Lord. Yeah. If she only laughs so much as you guys did. You can't be the Holy Spirit to somebody else. It doesn't work like that. We'll read a scripture about it in a second. But anyway, so I'm in this position now, and I've told one or two of you guys already. You know part of this already. But you know, now I need to bring my wife blameless and holy in front of the Lord, and I feel ill-equipped. I don't really feel ill-equipped is not the right word. I feel a bit scared. Firstly, because it's my duty, which I'm ill-equipped for. And secondly, because I'm going to fail. I'm being honest here. I'm not saying I'm going to fail, I snayed it off. But all I'm saying is I really felt that I was going to fail. But the Lord is amazing. 2 Peter 1. Like I said, I'm just running through scriptures, how the Lord just, these landmarks in my life. You know, the Lord just placed these memorial stones in my life that he told me, remember what I've told you. 2 Peter 1 verse 5. Peter is a very short book, so don't page too far. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. The Lord says you will never not know what to say. You will never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You will never fall. And those are words that I needed, because I don't like failing. Now that's part of my destiny, but that's a long story. You will not fall. But you know, I didn't really grasp that scripture, because all I read was, and with all diligence add to your faith virtue, which I didn't know what it is. What is virtue? Aksaburshian. So I had to write it down. Does anybody know what virtue is? Are there English speaking people here tonight? Moral excellence, goodness, righteousness, and uprightness. That's virtue. So I decided I didn't know what virtue was, so I'm going to skip virtue and go to knowledge. Because that I like. That I like. So I had this quest to search for knowledge, knowledge and wisdom. And I printed out Proverbs, every single chapter of Proverbs. And you know, they say, yes, you can read it through a month because it's 31. I promise you, you can't read it in a month if you want to know what is in Proverbs. So it took me about a week to go through like a paragraph. And there were notes and there were arrows and there were highlights and then there were like synonyms and, you know, there was just, it was a crazy story. In my pursuit of knowledge and wisdom. And it occupied me so much because I believe that somehow this will equip me perfectly to never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I thought it will equip me fully into never failing. And then I remember, I didn't write the scripture down, where the Lord says, you know, you will speak to them, but they will not understand. And I just glanced over it because it wasn't for me. And so that was Old Testament. New Testament, I think, is in Mark. It says, and you will talk to them, but they will not understand. That was like within one day. And I was so distraught. I was so, you know, it wasn't a good place because I just felt, you know, I started getting momentum. There's this lady that I knew I wanted to, you know, honor as the Lord wants me to honor. And I really felt the Lord is telling me to search for knowledge because He says to add diligently knowledge. Proverbs 2 is amazing regarding knowledge and wisdom. We can read through it, but I'm unsure how late we should end. Yener, okay. Let's go to the Hebrew verse. Trust me, read Proverbs 2. So, now I'm in this place where I say, Lord, do I even hear from you? Can I hear from you? Because I really thought I heard from you, and now I'm really hearing from you because you told me twice in one day that I really will not know anything. And, you know, we all have different personalities, and some people will be blasé about it. But it really broke me. And there might be something that you've gone through that you really heard, you really thought you heard the word of God or the voice of God, and then suddenly it doesn't happen, and you are broken. You really are in a place where you think to yourself, you doubt yourself so much. And I remember we in church, and they sing a song. And it says that the Lord is the lion and the lamb. And that means so much, but to me, on that day, it just meant, the Lord just said, Ruan, you will know, but you will know nothing. Both coexist at the same time. You cannot only know me through knowledge. There's things of me that's mysterious. The word says he's unsearchable. The Afrikaans word is beautiful. Ondeurgrondelik is the right word. And I'm telling you, it is such an amazing place to be, to know that, Lord, there is always more. And you might have come to a place where you hear from the Lord, and it doesn't happen, but I promise you, God is the lion and the lamb. It is firstly necessary for you to hear what you've heard. Yeah, that was good grammar, eh? For a boerkie. You must hear what you heard. Because you get to a place where we sometimes, we always get to this place where we fall short. We get to this place where we feel that we're ill-equipped. But you know, after that, the Lord just brought me back to 2 Peter 1. And just to give you a hint, if the Lord pushes you back to the same verse 2 or 3 times in a row, you haven't heard what you should hear. And I went and I said, okay, what's after knowledge? After knowledge, temperance. Who knows what's temperance? Self-control. Let's look at Google. Moderation. Self-control. Well done. You had the notes beforehand. Self-restraint. So I went and I decided, okay, so I skipped virtue. I can't skip temperance. Let me just... So I wrote everything down. Patience. The ability, willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance. To suppress annoyance. Steadfastness, quiet and steady perseverance, and even temperedness. Godliness, holy, righteous, saintly, and good. Love, reverent adoration, warmth, and passion. And I thought to myself, but how am I not going to suppress my annoyance perfectly? That was just a bit of a joke. Don't worry. But you can't suppress your annoyance perfectly. And luckily we don't have to. Because the Lord says that for if these things be in you and abound. Not be perfect. Abound. If you didn't have patience for taxi drivers in December last year, this year, December, it should be a bit better. If you didn't have self-restraint, if you didn't have brotherly kindness, if you didn't have love, if you didn't have temperance, which we talked about just now, virtue and knowledge, abound. Because it's only when you abound that the Lord says you will never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit will bring unto remembrance that which He has told you, even though it might not be much. For that place where that stick is going to be thrown in the water, that place where that stick lands, what you have is enough. You have enough. You might never have had an example. For me, it's like family worship. I'm not talking about reading the Bible. I'm talking about family worship. I don't sing too well, although I was in the choir for like 12 years, but I think they just wanted like boys, and maybe I made it symmetrical because I was tallish. Anyway, so... I didn't have an example. But I knew I wanted to. And I just have to improve. And what I'm telling you now is that you come to a place where you feel, and the devil comes with his similar and his same old lies, and he tells you all those things that you've struggled with before. And you know what? He doesn't know you anymore. Because you are a new created being. There's no those things that you struggled with before, all those markings on that stick, they don't have the power of chronicity anymore. But the devil will come and he will always tell you that same lie that caught you previously. But I'm telling you now, you're not the same person. But he would like you to believe that you are. Abound. Abound. And you will never fall. You will never fall. Romans 8. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. That's rough. But if you, and I only read the first part of that scripture, eh? I didn't have the guts to read further, and I know something else. Ooh, anyway, but if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You have received the spirit of adoption. The devil can now go to hell because you are the child of God. I don't know if you realize what it says here, but it says that the Spirit itself, God Almighty, the Most High, the beginning and the end, omnipotent, omniscient, alomtegenwoordig. He says, ek sê, you're my son, you're my daughter. When the devil comes with his old lies, you have a father. You have to cry out. And Romans 8 is amazing. I don't know if you've ever read it, but it is truly a mind breaker. Let's verse 18, you see. All right. So now you come to this place and now you say, I am a child of God. And now you think you are going to walk in this throne room and everybody is just going to sing hallelujah and everything is going to be perfect. But you know what? And the Lord is so amazing. And he says, verse 16, that we are the children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, if heirs of God, then joint heirs with Christ. If so, that we suffer with him, that he may also be glorified together. Then he says, you are my child, but you will suffer. So even if you are abounding, increasing, if you're not falling, but you're conquering, the Lord says there will be times where you will suffer. But then he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed within us. Why? For God is with us. I hope you understand that when the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, it is God that's saying, I am praying for you. We think of this communication with God as prayer, as us telling him our to-do list, or our wish list, or our, I don't know, there's so many lists in the world. and I'm not too clued up with social media. I'm sure there's lists there as well. But the thing is that what happens there is that God says, I'm doing the praying. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, I'll finish up, I know I'm talking too long. C.S. Lewis has a bit of a, I know he's controversial anyway, but in his one book, he says that the atheist comes to him and says, you know what? Why are you having this monologue? He's talking about prayer, because the atheist obviously doesn't believe in God. And he says, why are you having this monologue? Why are you wasting your time? And he says, you know what? You are absolutely right. I'm having a monologue. But not in the way that you think. He says, because he wants to come before the Lord and he wants to become empty. Not with things in his mind that he wants to bring to the Lord, but he wants to come to the Lord empty so that the Spirit within him speaks, so that it is the Spirit that speaks to God, hence God speaking to himself. That's the monologue. God speaking to himself. God is for you. God is for you where you are working. God is for you where you are living. God is for you in your relationships. God is for you. Know that. Know that the Almighty God has chosen you and he says, I am for you. And who shall separate us from this love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.